Most parents, at least people who've been parents in the last 20 years or so, probably know the series of books under the What to Expect banner. What to expect when you're expecting, what to expect in the first year, what to expect for toddlers, all that. It's very much an age and stage framework. So what if you applied that framework to financial literacy? What to teach them and when? Shannon Lee Simmons is a certified financial planner and founder of the New School of Finance in Toronto. Hello.
Hello.
We talk about kids and money a lot on the show. You recently wrote about this topic for The Globe, where you divided the learning into ages. Why divide it like that?
Well, I think that kids are at different stages, and so different lessons can be introduced at different times. Like, you're not going to take the same approach with a four-year-old that you are with a 14-year-old, right? So I think that the three stages is basically, you know, when do you introduce it? When are there things like piggy banks and stuff versus when are you introducing an allowance? And then when are you getting real and you're really trying to mimic real life? And I that's why the stages worked really well from a financial literacy point of view, because then we get to really have impact at each stage.
Let's start with age 4 to 6. What are some of the lessons that should be tackled in that window?
Right. So that's kind of your introduction to money, those years in there. And of course, every kid is different, but you know your own kid. I usually think that around 4 to 6, that's when you want to introduce the idea that money can buy things, that you can share money with other people who have less, and that it can also, that money can be earned. So those are the three lessons during those introductory years to money that you want to kind of tackle with your kid.
Why introduce the concept of charity at this age in particular?
Yeah, I think maybe it's not so much formally charity, but more so sharing. And I think that it's important because this is around the age when kids start to notice that other people may not have as nice toys as them, or vice versa, they may not have as nice toys as others. So there's an awareness that's happening where, oh, you have more than me, or I have more than you. And I think that that's why it's a great time to kind of get in there and be like, yeah. So sometimes money buys things, but we can share things with people who may not have as much later. So I think it's a really good time to introduce that when they first become aware that there's kind of disproportionate money and money buys things.
And they're also at that phase when they don't want to share anything. It's the worst.
Exactly.
Kids come over for play dates and like, yeah, you can come to my house, but you cannot touch my stuff.
Exactly. So I think that when we bring money into the conversation, it also helps with appreciation later on, right? So a lot of times clients of mine who have older kids will be frustrated that they feel like their kids don't have an appreciation of money and that, you know, they are very lucky to have what they have. And I think if we can get in there younger and start teaching about, you know, that there is disproportionate money and that you can share some, and maybe that'll help with that later on.
Yeah. Next stage is 6 to 9. What are the key lessons there?
Yeah. So this is when you introduce your allowance, and it's like, it is, and your baby's, you know, first budget, which is very exciting. I love that.
Baby's first really, budget. Okay, what's on that?
The name of the next book, yeah. So this is when you really want to introduce the first time that they're saving and they're spending in a routine way. That's what I mean about a budget, right? So we're not forecasting what they're going to spend on treats that month. I'm just saying, when you get money from an allowance, even if it's a small amount, you go through a routine. You spend some and you save some. And this is also when I think that, you know, you want to be introducing physical money like bills and coins, even though, you know, some of our kids may never actually spend with bills and coins. They might even be using plastic for the rest of their life. But I think that while they're learning still in that allowance way, because the whole point of this is to teach, right? So bills are worth more and you can practice math with it. And when they get their allowance during this stage, if it's physical, you can actually have jars, which is like spend, save, share. And so, if, you know, if they get an allowance of $6, there's the toonie goes in the one jar, a toonie goes in the save jar, and then a toonie goes in the third. And that way, there's like the routine starts with on payday, it's consistent. I do things. I am allowed to spend some. I'm allowed to save some. And then the other activities that you can do with them is, you know, you take their spending jar that they have and practice letting them buy something with it. So if they've got $3 in there, take them to the store, let them spend their money on whatever they want to spend it on, because we're not taking the savings jar, we're taking the spending jar. So they're allowed to spend that money. And that's kind of the first time you're introducing routine spending and saving. We don't spend all of it.
What about ages 10 through 15? I mean, my daughter's eight. That 5-year window terrifies the living daylights out of me. What relates to money?
So these are kind of like your pre-adult money years, and this is like prime time for actually setting a financial foundation and teaching kids the skills that they're going to use soon, especially if they're about to go off to post-secondary, like when you get into the later teenage years. So this is when you want to open an electronic bank account. Like, we're done with jars and coins and piggy banks. Like, this is when you want to get them actually opening a bank account. And I think that there definitely should be an allowance, and you could electronically transfer that. And again, you're teaching them the skills on how to survive in like real life. And so they could have a checking account and a savings account, which is very exciting. And I also think, and this one's not controversial, but a lot of parents are like, oh, that's good, but I don't know if I'm scared of it. I think that it's a really important time to teach how to borrow responsibly. So one of the things that I see a lot of kids who are just graduated, that if they come in and see us, they are saying that they never really learned how to borrow. And then all of a sudden there was, you know, we all know the terror stories of like getting handed a credit card, blowing through it, and not really knowing how to borrow. It's one thing to understand debt and be taught what interest is, and it's a totally different thing to actually borrow money and feel what that feels like to have less money now because you have to pay back the past. So during this age group of 10 to 15, if your kids want something that maybe they don't have enough of in their checking account, this is an amazing opportunity for you to teach them how to borrow. So the example that I usually use is, you know, if they want something, like maybe they want to go to Canada's Wonderland or they want like a ukulele or something, and it's $40 for this excursion and they only have, you know, $10 in their spending account, lend them the extra $30 and then have them pay it back to you over the next, you know, 6 allowances. So you're going to take $5 from every single allowance. And if they get frustrated at the less money that they have over the next 6 weeks, that is amazing. That is exactly what you want to
do. Do you add interest to that?
No.
Because I do with Abby. She's 8, and I make the interest rate egregious. I run my own payday loan shop in our house.
Oh, you're a shark. That's so funny. Well, I don't necessarily say you have to add interest. I think everybody can do their own thing there, whatever the parent wants to do. But I think the point is, you have a kid who understands, I get this today, and I'm going to pay for it for some time, and it's going to be frustrating. So maybe I don't do that next time. Or if I do borrow, I know and I understand fully what I'm agreeing to. And that way they've kind of had practice.
Sneaking in one last question here. What do you say to parents who are already behind? I get that question all the time. You know, their kid's 10 and they've done nothing.
I think it's totally fine. Kids are smart, and there's lots of time for them to be learning this stuff. You can start tomorrow and just start teaching the basics, right? So especially with the allowance game. So if you've never done an allowance, it's an amazing tool that parents can use to teach their kids about money. Just make sure it's an amount of money that you can afford to do comfortably, because you want to make it consistent. The worst case scenario is like, yeah, let's start this allowance thing. You kind of forget. They never really do the chores. It kind of falls apart. And then you kind of set up this weird, like, right, am I getting money? Am I not? It's this weird relationship with money from the get-go. So just be consistent.
Shannon, thanks very much, and good luck with your own kids on this as your very young child moves into phase one. Take
Thank
care.
Thank you.
Shannon Lee Simmons, certified financial planner, founder of the New School of Finance in Toronto, and the author of the Globe and Mail bestseller, Worry-Free Money.